There was always a shield about them. It was like a hedge about them. Psalms 58, the judgment of the wicked mentioned again. And Psalms 59, which is the 10th psalm, here, again, the assured judgment of the wicked. Verse 13, Psalms 59, verse 13. Consume them in wrath. Consume them. All these are very fierce psalms. Because the second book of Psalms speaks about the book of Exodus, the 10 plagues. And then after all the plagues and all the judgment, suddenly it goes into what I call a covenant relationship, which is Mount Sinai. And it begins to talk about a covenant relationship with God. Like for example, Psalms chapter 63. The change begins. From Psalm 60, there is a suddenly a change. It's a prayer to God. And Psalms 63, you notice, it's a song of fellowship. Oh God, you are my God. Early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you. It says, my flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land. So I have looked for you in a sanctuary to see your power and your glory, because your loving kindness is better than life. It begins to talk about fellowship and all those things, all those good things that is going to happen in the book Exodus, a fellowship with the Lord and a covenant that they made with the Lord. This is book 2. It ties up to the book of Exodus. Book 3 ties is a little short little book, because Leviticus is a very short historical book, mainly a lot of accounts of different dimensions of the pieces of furniture. Book 3 begins in chapter 73. Psalm 73. Right on to Psalms 89 is the third book, which is tied up to the book of Leviticus. Now, so that you could understand the flow of this teaching, when you think about Leviticus, what do you think about? See, how you can draw forth the truth depends on your knowledge of the Old Testament Bible. When you think about Leviticus, if you have a thorough knowledge of the book, there are two things that strike you foremost. The building of the tabernacle, and number 2, the Feast of Israel. See, there are two things that stand out very clear. The ceremonies, there could be 3 things. The ceremonies and the sacrifices, the building of the tabernacle, all these things that were in Exodus, and all the ceremonies and how they are to go into one place, and the outer court, and the inner court, and the most holy place. The outer court and the most... All these things that they built in the book of Exodus and the dimensions, in Leviticus is the actual carrying out. And God was giving that instruction when they go in, how you must take the incense, and how that, what kind of offering takes place in the outer court, all the different types of offering that we had touched on when we talked about the book of Leviticus, and the lever, how to use the water, which part of the animal to wash, and about the bread, the show bread, and the change of the show bread, and all these details are in the book of Leviticus plus the 7 feasts of Israel. And in the third book of Psalms, you will find a movement from the outer court to the most holy place. It's a short little book here. The book 3 is a short little book. It talks about thanksgiving. It talks about majesty of God and all these things. But we look over to Psalms chapter 84. It ends with movement into the Holy of Holies. Psalms 84 begins the psalm about the tabernacle. Now, isn't that interesting? Because the book of Leviticus talks about the setting up of the tabernacle and all the feasts that are involved in the tabernacle. So when you read Psalms 84, it talks about, verse 1, how lovely is your tabernacle, O Lord of hosts. My soul longs, yes, even faints, for the courts of my Lord. What is he talking about? In the outer court. And it continues to say there in verse 10. For a day in your courts is better than 1,000 days. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tent of wickedness. Now the book of Leviticus begins with all the ceremonies that take place in the outer court. There's a lot of activity in the outer court. All kinds of offering. Every day they will have to have the morning sacrifice and the evening sacrifice. And all these offerings must be taking place. And here, they are telling you, even though it looks like a drudgery, even though it looks like a routine, yet David says, one day in that tabernacle is better than 3 years. 1,000 days is about 3 years. He counted it a privilege to just be inside. That was the attitude required. Oh, how powerful the Psalms are. Then he moves into the lever in chapter 85, which is the second piece of furniture. And in the lever, it talks about restoration. Look at verse 10. What actually takes place at the lever in verse 10? Mercy and truth have met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Truth shall spring out of the earth. Now, if you remember the 6 pieces of furniture, the first piece is the brazen altar where all the sacrifice takes place. Then the second piece is the lever that contains the water to wash the animals. Then you have a veil. As you enter the first veil, on your left side you see the candlestick, on your right side the table of showbread. And just before the second veil is the altar of incense. And then you walk through the veil, you will find the ark. There are 6 pieces of furniture altogether. So the first was the brazen altar, which we just passed there in chapter Psalms 84. Then Psalms 85 is a lever, and the lever, as you mentioned again, the brazen altar represents Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. The lever, Jesus, the Word of God. The candlestick, Jesus, the giver and baptizer in the Holy Spirit. The table of showbread, Jesus, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The altar of incense, Jesus Christ, our High Priest. The Ark of the Covenant, Jesus, the fullness of God. And each piece demonstrates a different thing, we have mentioned. But the lever talks about Jesus, the Word of God. And it tells us in Psalms 85, mercy and truth have met together at the lever. It was not only truth, but truth spoken in love. And you will notice that if we want mercy, we need truth. If we want the Word of God, then we also need to have the covenant of God and move into His mercy. Talks about truth in verse 11. Truth shall spring out of the earth, and righteousness shall look down from heaven. Yes, the Lord will give what is good, and our land will yield its increase. So when you have the lever in your life, these are all the good things that are going to happen in your life. You're going to have fruitfulness, righteousness abounds in your life. Then you cross over into the first veil. And as you cross over into the first veil, here in Psalms 86, it moves you first to the table of showbread. A table of showbread, it's a table of a covenant with the Lord, where Jesus is your King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And here in verse 1, it says, bow down your ear, O Lord, hear me, for I am poor and needy. It's almost like, give me this day my daily bread. I'm in need, Lord. I come to you. I need to partake of the showbread. I need to partake of your authority, the power of your name. I need to submit to your name. I need to come unto you. Preserve my life, for I am holy. Do you notice? He has moved into the holy place. By the time you cross Psalms 86, you are in the holy place. This is the third book of Psalms. It is the holy book, the book of Leviticus. The emphasis of the book of Leviticus is holiness unto the Lord. And these Psalms talk about holiness. Do you know that the third book talks about holiness? That is why it's so important to see the flow. Here it says, I am holy, therefore preserve my life. See, the priest, can you imagine the priest entering into the holy place? They cannot play around. Because if the priest enter into the holy place with sin, they will die. So I could imagine even the high priest entering the most holy place, it was really awesome. Awesome. Knowing that if he was not right, he would be dead in a moment. That is why entering the holy place is not easy. Here the Psalms give you what the feeling is like. As you enter the holy place, oh Lord, preserve me. I'm holy. See, Psalms is important. It gives you an entire feeling. Oh Lord, don't. I'm holy. He did all the checking. And verse 2. Save your servant who trusts you. Be merciful to me, O Lord, for I cry to you all day long. And he talked about the mercy of God, the abundance of his mercy. He hears our prayers. There is none like him. You are wonderful. Teach me, in verse 11, your way, O Lord. I will walk in your truth until my heart, unite my heart to fear your name. The showbread, the table of showbread, is the power of the name. The brazen altar, the power of the blood. The laver, the power of the word. The showbread, the power of his name. Moves to the candlestick in chapter 87. And the candlestick, you can see, it's a different thing altogether. It's a funny looking psalm with a lot of funny looking names. Look at it very carefully. We are at a candlestick. Doesn't quite look like a candlestick. But if you examine it, you will see some truths. Important truths that we cannot ignore. Psalms 87. His foundation is in the holy mountain. Look at it, holiness again. You cannot run from holiness when you enter the holy place. It's awesome. The Lord loves the gates of Zion more than all the dwellings of Jacob. Glorious things are spoken of you, O city of God. What has happened? In the candlestick, you have become a city of God. You have become a dwelling place of God. I will make mention of Rahab and Babylon to those who know me. Why suddenly Rahab? Why Rahab? That you need interpretation. Because Rahab found the mercy of God through the blood. Remember, the scarlet robe represents the blood, the covenant. In other words, my friend, to move into the power of the candlestick, which is the power of the Holy Spirit, you need to also understand the power of the blood of Jesus. It's still operating there. Rahab. I'll make mention of Rahab and Babylon to those who know me. What does Babylon represent? Remember the Tower of Babel? The Tower of Babel, there was confusion of tongue. But it's a different Babylon now. This Babylon is yielded to him. It's the Babylon of tongues yielded to him. It's like the book of Acts chapter 2, verse 4. And they spoke in other tongues. You see, Babylon represents the nations of the world. All the various tongues. And of course, when you move deeper, it goes to tongues of men and of angels. Candlestick, the power of the Holy Spirit. And it talks about worship too. And but the other things that are here are quite important. It says, behold, O Philistia and Tyre, we Ethiopia, just to let you know, each city represents something.